Hey guys, this podcast is sponsored by Yak Attack at yakattack.us. What Yak Attack is a leader in the kayak fishing industry who specializes in kayak fishing rigging solutions. As kayak anglers themselves, they are tightly integrated into the sport of kayak fishing and the community itself, and are acutely aware of what the sport needs. When they think of something you need for something on your boat, on your kayak, they have made it because they are kayakers and they have the same problems that we had. You need a rod holder here, you need something here. Well, these guys are engineered and manufactured the parts that are the best things for your kayak, especially in your fishing situations. It all starts with the gear track and or the mighty mount. And the gear track comes in all different sizes and colors. And the screw ball is the part that attaches to the gear track, that everything attaches to that. The variety of rod holders and camera mounts for still cameras and GoPros, the light poles, the day flags that folds into light poles, which is our focus of this month. He sent me a new thing and I haven't even read over it yet.
The day flag that folds into the light pole, the
VisiPro. And fish finder mounts, and for your battery packs and the parts, you can put your fish finder on top of that, the depth finder, and then the transducer and goes over the side, and all can go tracked right onto the gear track along with the...
That's a great light, too.
Yeah, yeah.
The bias is bright.
It's super bright. I've had to tape it just because it's so bright. It'll give you a shadow.
Especially if you put a little bit, you don't even have the top. If you just go around the bottom piece a little bit of electrical tape or something, man, it's just so it's just not like down at you so much.
Well, that's also the thing is you can put the flag over top of it, too, to deaden it out some. And the Black Pack crate system.
Too bad we don't get to announce the winners. That would be cool. With nobody listens, but
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah.
They're doing that. He carved some into the jack-o'-lanterns. Did you see that?
Yeah. I skimmed through it.
I saw the pictures on Facebook. That looks cool. I know. It looks like there's apparently a contest for him, but that's cool.
Yeah, he does contests all the time.
Yeah. Those things are cool, man. The jack-o'-lantern pack or whatever.
Yeah. The black packs with the jack-o'-lantern pack. Yeah, he's got all the machining that can do that.
He does all kinds of cool designs.
Yeah. And if you're not friends with Luther on Facebook, it's Luther at Yak Attack. Luther Cypress at Yak Attack.
Yeah, it's Luther Cypress Yak Attack.
Yak Attack. Yeah, not at, but Yak Attack. Yeah. It's just Luther Cypress Yak Attack.
It's Luther Cypress Yak Attack.
Yeah, he's friends with both of us, so you'll be able to see that on there. And
it's pretty public. Well, it's a business page.
Yeah.
He fishes a ton. He's nonstop. When he's not working at the factory,
and
he's always fishing and testing the product.
And he'll brainstorm an idea. Goodness. What do you think about this?
He's just like Kevin, except I remember, and Kevin did this a ton back in the day. We would be sitting there talking or fishing, and all of a sudden he'd pull out his cell phone and call and be talking. And like, what was that? You're like, I just left myself a voicemail. Had an idea, doesn't want to forget. I mean,
that's before I had.
Ideas are easy to forget, and while you're fishing like that, I mean, you can come up with some brilliant shit that you forget real quick.
Especially a lot of when I was writing music a lot, that was an issue. But the thing was, I would wake up in the middle of the night and have an idea of a riff or something, and I try to hum it into the little recorder. Shit didn't sound like nothing. I thought it was that night. Like, I would listen to it the next morning. I was like, that's crap. What is that? I can't even decipher what I'm trying to get across there. That's what I'm trying to do, music and stuff. But yeah, writing also.
He's out there on the water with the stuff, with the products.
Yeah,
all the time, Luther.
And making it. So he's always brainstorming and new ideas.
The stuff is made at his factory, at his location, in one place, right up the street from here.
And with the focus on the VisiCarbon Pro, that was what they started on. I mean, a few years ago, the Yak Attack was the gold standard in kayak visibility with the VisiCarbon Pro. Fast forward today, and this is an iconic product, remains the most dependable light flag combo in the industry. With its unique profile and instantly recognizable VisiCarbon Pro has truly become one of the most fundamental staples in the kayak fishing. It is. It is probably the best light.
I think
you always see it out there. And it's that compactability of it, that you can break it down in a little bag. It's like, we're going out tonight, light. And your light's in a bag, you just throw it in the back of your boat. And you don't have to have it up.
Mine has literally been in the water, under the water.
Yeah.
I mean, it just sits in the well, the kayak all the time.
Yeah.
It's reliable. It works every time.
And it's so bright that you will literally put a shadow on from. You have a shadow down here coming from behind you. It's really super bright, and the connections are, of course, go. You can. it's fitted so you can go into the rod holders, which that's how we use it in our crates.
And it also has the Mighty Mount on the bottom.
The Mighty Mount, the T-bolt on the bottom.
Yeah, the T on the bottom of it.
Or it comes with also the Scotty. They have one with the Scotty.
Yeah.
And, and you're shaking just like the Scotty holes. And, or you know, there's the inset type of mounts. And they have one with just a ball on there, so it connects just to, if you already have a connecting, you know, another connecting piece. So, yeah, they have a variety of that can go on. And they have ones that are not, they don't break apart. They just are straight.
Huh.
They just are straight. But it's,
Man, that day we were up there, that guy, it seemed like all day.
Yeah. Yeah,
they just folded the VisiCarbon Pros.
Yeah. the lamp expectedly are like 10,000 hours of bright light. It's LED, at least 100 hours from the three AA batteries.
Right.
Yeah, and which is included in when you buy it. The carbon mass is lightweight. It's super lightweight, and the flag, which is cool if you're. If you do a lot of ocean fishing, that's
open
where,
water anyway.
Open really. Water where you have waves and swells, that's where the flag really comes into play, because the flag, it's an issue when you go below into the troughs of waves that other boats can't see you. You can see your head, but it's it's a basketball basically, you know.
Yeah, I mean people are worried about running over birds.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. You know that's about the size you are when you're in a trough.
Especially and you know, if there's waves and everything, man, it's you don't look like everything looks different.
Yeah, and so he's got the bright flags, and he made Kayak Kevin flags.
Yeah,
I even sell them on my website too, in bright pinks and reds and greens and all that stuff. So it's that's really good. And then you could also put that, like we were saying, you can put that over top of the light to kind of dull the light down, give it a more of a glow instead of a bright light. I've taken I have one strip here's the light, and I have one strip going like this, so it doesn't put light right on my back.
Right.
So it's just out a little bit. Still can see, and it's not electrical tape. I just used medical tape, so it's kind of white, just to block off the light a little bit, because it is bright. It is super bright.
Also, you don't want that shadow. You don't want to be casting a shadow fishing the light line.
Right, and that's usually what we're doing at nighttime. But yeah, so that was what, you know, VisiCarbon Pro was what his initial kind of big thing that put Yak Attack on the map. And he's just gone, exploded from there with everything else. But that, you know, that type of idea, a great light, bright light with a flag that you can fold in, that's compact and maneuverable, and you can take it with you anywhere. And it's one of his best sellers, it continues to be. And that is it's the VisiCarbon Pro at yakattack.us. All right.
And we exited it, so none of that counts.
What's that?
Nothing.
What are you talking about?
We got nothing.
What?
It didn't count.
What do you mean?
I'm just messing with you.
It's podcast number 33. It is October 15, 2014. It's just me and Lee, because we haven't done a podcast since the end of September. We're midway through October now. Been fishing though. We both went fishing a lot. We went right after the TKA tournament and went spec fishing with you and Rick. And then I got sick as fuck. So I was put out when you went out and caught some fish.
Yeah,
while
before
I was
that,
sick.
Before that, right after the tournament, I went up to Richmond for a weekend.
Yep.
And hung out with Rob and Seth and Alex.
Yeah, so that was another
Billy,
that was,
and we went.
That was another thing that was the podcast we were doing that weekend, because that was happening. The next weekend, I think I was sick, and then so it's just been an off, but me getting sick, I don't know if I caught it from, I get sinus infections, right? I get sinus infections, not so much where I catch colds, but it's all kind of the same thing. But I get sinus infections because I got a deviated septum, and you always hear, whenever we're sitting up and it's all quiet in here and I'm just kind of sitting up trying to breathe through my nose, man, you breathe hard. It's just the noise that comes through my nose. And so I smashed my face snowboarding. I don't know if I told a story on here before, but I told it at the shop the other day. But I was riding, I was at Massanutten, and I was riding the park, right? I just jump nailed. I mean, it was you know, perfect jump. At the top, it was just over and over again. It had a nail flying through the air. And okay.
Look at me.
But no, it's not even. I just like flying through the air, man. Because everybody, I'm like, at that point, I was late 20s, and I was kind of actually the old guy on the slopes.
Right.
Because the younger guys are doing the super spins. I'm just locking into a method and soaring. That's all I like to do.
Right.
Lock into a method, crack my back in a method, and just fly. That's what I used to like to do.
Pretending you were vert ramp.
Except, it's just a little bit different. It's a little bit different, but it's still the same flying. So, I was hitting this jump and this, and then I went and free rode for about 2 hours and then came back to the jump and it had carved out. So it was like this when I was jumping, and now I had carved out like this.
So
and I
wasn't straight up.
I wasn't expecting it. I had my line. I had my where I could push and jump. So I hit my line and I hit it and it throws me upside down. I mean, immediately throws me upside down. So it goes shoom and I'm stuck. I can't rotate out and you're in the air for so long.
Because back in the day they didn't do flips. So
but the other kid, that. The young kids were doing flips. I didn't do the flips and do the 360s. I was doing 180s, but I couldn't rotate around. I didn't like rotating all the way around.
Right.
But those kids were doing all that stuff. But I was stuck up fucking side down. Right. Stuck. Had enough time to go. Fuck! I can't get out of this. Here it comes. Just tighten. You know, close your arms in and take it. And I slammed right on my face.
On the
this land. Time my face, yeah, on the ice. You know, sand.
Yeah, that's right.
Messing up. Yeah. So,
some rocks in there.
As soon as it happens, I'm just pissed off. Like I'm not even like hurt. Oh, I'm hurt. I'm like, fuck. I'm so mad that I just slammed because I was having such a good day. You know, just my day is
face is
my day's over. I can't even feel my face.
I can't see my face.
I can't feel it. Throwing on my gloves, I walk off to the side and I'm going, fuck, I'm hurt. I'm done. I'm done for today. I couldn't feel my face from this side down. By the hour home, driving home, it finally started coming back. And I used to go every Thursday. I would take off a Thursday from work and go every Thursday doing by myself a lot of times. So
right.
I'm on my way home. Finally start to feel sensation on my lips, and when I went to get my teeth fixed, they said I had a fractured jaw and a deviated septum, so I broke my jaw too during that slam. So my deviated septum is something I've been dealing with for since my late 20s, and it's caused me a lot of problems. And when I had insurance, I really wish I would have fixed it. It would have helped out a lot, because
now he needs to just get punched in the face one good time again.
It moves all the time. That's the thing, is like I'll sleep on one side and it'll move.
You need to just learn how to hit it right and swell
and
it.
Just pop it, yeah. Just
swell it so it stays in place, and then like when it starts to get loose again, you just gotta pop it again.
Sometimes in twisting yoga poses, it'll straighten out, and I have actual like full breaths, and it's beautiful for like 30 seconds until I move again, and it changes back over again. But so I get sinus infections because stuff will get stuck in there, right? So I don't know if I caught a cold or a sinus infection. It's all the same crap, and to me, and so then right, I started getting over it about a week later. And then I'm coughing the shit up, and it gags me, and I puke. And puke goes into my nose, and I get another sinus infection, like, just a couple days ago, where I'm going to get more green stuff and all that stuff out. So, yeah, so I come in my lungs, coming out of my nose. I'm better. I'm not, like, contagious or nothing like that. It's all that past point. I don't have Ebola.
That's good. check the fever and everything. We're getting a little temperature over here.
But it damn sure took me out for a while.
103 is normal, correct?
That's about where I'm at usually, right? I don't know. I don't have a thermometer, thermostat.
Oh my god. It's over.
So that's what happened to me during that time. And a nice little story on how I broke my face. I think I posted something about it on Facebook about like breaking my face one time. But yeah, since the TKA tournament, you know, I have to remind myself. I've been bringing up my website. I posted pictures of it. I caught two fish that week. I think me and Jay went.
Was that after Rick had the you caught the one from shore?
No, Specs, I'm talking about Red. We're going back all the way to the TKA tournament. We haven't talked about nothing.
Have you caught a drum since?
No, not since.
Yeah, you did. You and Jay caught one. Or no,
yeah, it was that was a day, that was 2 days after the TKA tournament.
Okay.
So that was that same time frame. But after that, we came down to the
weather was bad.
To the pilings, yeah. Then we came down to the pilings and didn't catch anything on that third day. Yeah. And then we fished the next week we fished the Specs.
Yes.
Oh, and this week the fucking DVD came out.
Yeah. Buy the DVD.
Yeah, that came out this week too, so that was pretty cool that and it's always sketchy about these DVDs. Don't know half the stress of this stuff is going from your digital media to putting it on DVD. It seems like there's always a lot of issues right there, and it's always where I had a problem. This one didn't have the usual problem that I have had on my other DVDs, and I ended up having at the compromises, making decisions, and it's all kind of high stress about that point and how it's going to compromise your vision basically. And what it was is just basically I had to take out the menu, and with being on just a two-part DVD, two segments, it wasn't that big of a deal. You can still fast forward to the striper segment. But yeah, it's out.
The striper section is sick.
Yeah,
that's a good section.
Yeah, yeah. There's
a lot of they give you a lot of chances to get really good shots of them in the water. And the water up there that time of year is really pretty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the fish are like, they contrast the water really well. Yeah, I mean, they're black and white. Yeah. You know what I mean? So they just
shine.
They shine. They look good. I mean, they flash, and the face is. I mean.
What's funny is Andrea at work was like, you know, looking at the cover, and she goes, "You think you might want to say anything that you use in old pictures?" It's like, this DVD, this is just 4 or 5 years worth of footage on this DVD. I think there's
these
4 years.
These things are dinosaurs, by the way.
Yeah, well, it's also, yeah, there's no more stripers.
That's it.
But I think there's literally footage from 2010 on this one because the first part of the segment of where you're using a drifter out in the first island.
Yeah.
You know, so there's some really old stuff, and I'm using I'm even using a drifter out there the first island.
Yeah, it'll go through three boats. It'll go through the drifter, the 15, yep. And I just mostly use the 13, but for a while.
And we have 15. Parts of that on there too. But it's funny because also look at our weight differences on
there. Yeah. It changes a lot.
It changes a lot on it. And that's what's funny. It's like, what's the negative part of being on video for this many years is you haven't got to it yet, but you'll see. I've noticed me aging like a motherfucker in the last 5 years, 6 years since we've been filming.
I still get ID'd for beer.
Yeah, but you know, it's not so bad for you because you're not aging as quick as, you know, when you get into your 40s, this shit starts going downhill pretty fucking quick. And losing weight doesn't help with the aging process either. It brings out the wrinkles and all that stuff, but it's funny because you look.
Plus, you're just old and beat down.
Yeah, and the sun's beating down and all that stuff. But, it's funny.
Probably going to retire from life soon.
On the striper segment, there's one. I think I'm close to 200 pounds, and the next one I'm at like 175. The next the one you come out with the beer and the that one I'm like I was huge. I was fat faced. I was like almost 200.
You looked
pounds.
Up instantly. That
yeah, you went in. And
went in. I came right back out. I mean, we came back out together. I think I stayed out. I came out right.
Yeah.
After you did.
Yeah, I just like ran out there real quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was a funny. Oh, and what we're going to do next week is week after, right? Yeah, not this coming Saturday, week after the next two Saturdays. We're going to do a podcast from Appomattox River Company, and we're going to watch the DVD off camera. We're going to have the cameras on me, you, and Rob, and do DVD commentary basically on it. So you can link it up to like you're watching DVD commentary and link it up to it and watch the DVD at the same time. So
right.
It might work. And we have an audience there too, whoever wants to go. I'll post it up on Facebook. Yeah. So that was that. Yeah, so that was the same week. Yeah, that was the same week that we went. Yeah, it was after TKA. That was the TKA one because that was the one that John Blair. If you watched the last podcast, Toast's buddy from Pennsylvania, we were talking about the shark fishing. We said, fuck, sharks come out. And so he came out and caught a 50. And
nice.
And it was cool because he hooks. First, you see dog, right?
Yeah, they're fine.
Okay.
They're just loud.
That wasn't that bad. That Carlon, the last one was. So I find one first and get to show him the fish, right? So
right.
I was able to, you know, if you get one, handle it. Right, here's the handle.
Right.
I actually
you
got him,
grab him. Yeah.
Got him to pick this one up because we were taking shots. I wanted him to be able to deal with it in case he got one. Which is cool.
This guy catches what? He's got muskie.
He's got big sharks.
Muskie is an impossible fish to deal with. I mean,
so he knows how to deal with that head.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah. Head control is important, and on a fish like a muskie, man, they're long. They've got a big swipe with that. It's really important, especially in the summertime when you have no protection on your body.
I can't imagine that.
They're just, I mean, oh
I
man,
I
don't,
I
yeah,
imagine.
Like bluefish.
Somebody was caught a gar or something the other day on Facebook, maybe a couple months ago, and it looked like it just hit his arm and it sliced him over.
Yeah.
They like didn't bite him, it just hit him.
Yeah.
Like when the teeth are all out like that, they're pointing out. I guess muskies, they stay inside their mouths, but they bite you.
I've never even looked at a muskie mouth, but I don't know, man. If they're anything like pike, it's not pretty. Like turbo trout, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Way they're more teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, John, he was cool because when he hooked up, he was, you know, he had the right gear. He had 50 pound test and all that stuff. He had a spinner rod. It was like a boat rod, basically.
Yeah.
And he fought it for a little bit longer, but being a 50, once he got it halfway through, I let him fight, went away from him, just let him fight for a little while, and then came back to him, and I was like, all right, now put some pressure on the thing now, because he was just kind of holding on.
Yeah, give it to him.
It's also his first big fish like that. You don't want you're nervous about really putting pressure on it. That's my first fish of the season. I'm kind of gentle with him anyway.
I
get into it.
Dude, I told the guys the day we caught that cobia, when we came up there to drumfish, the guy's like, hey, man, I've caught the 50-inch or 48-inch muskie, blah, blah, blah. I was like, man, if we get a bite here, it's going to be the biggest, strongest fish you've ever had on in your entire life. He's like, man, I caught this big muskie. I was like, just trust me, man. I was like, if we get a bite in this spot, it's going to be the biggest, strongest fish you have ever dealt with.
You were expecting reds.
Right, we were expecting reds. And it ended up being the biggest, strongest fish you've ever dealt with. You know what I mean? And way more than we thought.
Probably
going
to be the biggest, strongest fish he's ever going to deal with.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this thing, I mean, like, my man caught a torpedo. He caught an 80-pound cobia. I mean, that's like a sea monster.
Yeah.
Sea monster. Absolute sea monster. I mean, but anyway, yeah, I mean, that's what I told him. I was like, you know, you've caught these big muskie, I hear you.
Yeah.
This is going to be the biggest, strongest fish you have ever seen or dealt with.
And a lot of it is just, you know, you say, a guy in that mindset, he's like, yeah, I caught this big of a fish, but you also think about, where does that fish live? I mean, he lives in maybe a little bit of current, a little bit of, probably going to swim maybe 2 miles in his life area.
You're right.
You know, these fish migrate.
Right.
Ocean currents and hurricanes.
You can start to see the big drum that we get, the ones that go into the ocean, man, they grow tips on their tails. Mm-hmm. They look like an ocean fish.
They start to, and there was a guy, well, we talked about that at the last podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, guy Louisiana was like, those look different ones. Ours are ocean runs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it makes them more foul, makes them change a little bit. But yeah, he fought that thing, and halfway through it, he started putting pressure on, and he finally got it, landed himself.
Thanks, when you put pressure on a man,
they bite you harder. It was like, oh, I can see it. They see the rod bouncing, and I was like, all right. And they pulled him deep. That was the problem. He pulled him deeper off the island. So he didn't. He had to really work him up.
And that island bite was insane. I wish I'd have got on that, maybe, because that was
fantastic.
Open water like that. But I mean, so I got.
We're gonna get yours. Yeah,
I got it finally. But it was a super surprise. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was. So yeah, he landed, dealt with it. You know, revived it. It was all good. It was really good. Me and Jay went out the next day. And Jay goes out there like the first 5 minutes. He gets out there before me and drops a bait on the fish's head. I mean, just drops it, boom.
Hooked up. Right. I mean, I got one.
Yeah. You know, they don't even get a chance to kind of catch your breath type of deal, right? You're just, bam, and now I'm in a fight. So, yeah, he catches one, and then I get one. Here's what was funny with mine was we had a hard time finding bait. The day before, there was plenty of menhaden to snack, so it was no problem. And menhaden were living good in my live well.
Just by
pumping water,
wait.
It was cool. It was actually, I was thinking
the pump comes with the boat?
No, I got that. I have extra one now. I can get another one. They're aquabound. They're a power
company.
Yeah, I'll get another one.
Yeah,
they're awesome. But you gotta get the tube. I had to go find the tube.
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah, which made it a lot easier because it's not as splashy. It's a lot easier to deal with.
Yeah,
but it's
you can aim at it.
It's what somebody is aiming. It's a super
that's
water spout. Really, you're talking about the ultras have that center well in between your legs where you can cut it out to make a trident style hatch, or I've left it in there and made a live well out of it.
Yeah, most people do. It's an ocean style boat. It's created basically for the live well, and then also the cover for it comes up, flips over, and it's particularly made for catching your bait while you're out there because the hatch flips over, so that on the way out your fish finder and everything
is underneath
cover.
Yep.
You get out there and the hatch flips over and the fish finder's up there and your bait's under, you know, fill the well up.
And, well, what I've done is taken that hatch off because it was too big for my legs. It was a 2-inch hatch. It was actually kind of uncomfortable for me. So I just taken it off, put a piece of foam padding on top of it. But how will we live well, instead of having an aerator, which can be annoying on a kayak, rattling the whole time, use one of these pumps. We get them from Aquabound, just regular kayak pumps. I pump water in, just make sure it's clean, and then pump it out and pump some more water in again. And it made it's been working great for croaker and spotting, but I was surprised that it worked for menhaden. The next day with Jay, we couldn't find much bait. Finally found a croaker in a spot that was I should have kept for eating for myself, because the thing was near cetacean size. I was getting snagged up on the rocks a lot. You know, I was drifting the way our drift was. We're getting into the rocks, and so I kept snagging, getting aggravated, come off. One of the times I got near the rocks and dropped in, I felt like the spot went into a hole.
Yeah.
Like a tog would just go rattle, 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 stuck. And I was like, shit. So I pull on them, and I feel them come out of a hole. It feels like something dragging out. and just all that, just leave them down. I just paddle off just so I can check the spot just to recheck them. The thing's been scaled. Completely scaled. The hook had been rehooked into his face. You know,
so that's the only reason he didn't hook.
The only reason he didn't hook, and because it was in his crunchers.
Right.
It was in his crunchers, and I yanked the spot right out of a red's mouth. Right out of a red's mouth. After that, I bait fished for a little while and got sick of that because I really got sick of snagging up. So I just was jigging because you can control it.
Yeah.
You can feel the jig. You can feel the rocks a lot faster than you can just by drifting into them. And that's how I caught that one that day, and which was a lot of fun because I'd rather catch monkey jig. Just thump, man. It's so...
Yeah
it's just, there's nothing like that.
Unmistakable.
Then that was really slow, and another guy hooks up with one at the Wicker. Phil Wicker was out there. I think he hooks up one and breaks one off. I think he had... crimps, I believe, and maybe and also I think he was doing something.
If you're gonna use crimps, you'll know how to use them.
You gotta use a real thick line and all that stuff, or you can't.
No,
use
you can
line.
Crimp 20. They make crimps for 20. It's not necessary. I mean, people use it for their 80 sometimes. Or maybe he was using 100. But
basically, crimps for stuff where you're trolling, where it makes it a little bit more hydrodynamic. Is that because the knot is...
No, the shit is really hard to tie.
It gets
into that big line, man. You can't tie it.
Well, that's what I figured, but for 20, I mean, why would you need it for 20?
No, I mean, it's just, I don't know. You can crimp anything. I mean, you just... If you're going to crimp it, know how to crimp it.
Yeah.
Don't do it wrong.
Yeah. You don't need it for that, for this style anyway.
Yeah.
But, where was I? And Jay, so that was, it was slowing down out there. We saw another boater, which was cool because the boat was out there doing the same technique. One guy, and one of the, you know, one of the Andros boats, and just jigging or putting a bait down. And then Jay catches a flounder on the big jig, right? Just like, you know, a big, nice size, like 18, 20 inch or somewhere in that range. A nice size. And then that same week, so that was, then that Wednesday, me, you, and Rick go out to out of here to our backyard inlet, and Rick's, we had to try out a new boat. He's got the Viking boat, right? We had the Viking.
What
boat.
Is it called? The
Angler. It's not Pro Fisher. Pro Fisher. Pro Fisher. That's right.
Pro Fish Plus or something. I don't know. It's like 14 footer.
Yeah,
it's cool.
It was a cool boat.
Recharge or reload or re.
Oh fuck! You were right. It was something like that. Refish. It's a New Zealand company. Viking is the company, but they're doing it. It's an ocean boat. It's pretty cool. But he needed to take it out there to get shots, so we did the shots with the waves. It was pretty wavy out there, so we got to put Rick right in the waves and jump in waves with that thing. Hopefully, you got some shots. It was fun.
Yeah.
And so then we land, and because we all want to try out the boat, so I go out and paddle around, and I'm digging it. You paddle around, and then Rick's wants to. So I'm landing, and Rick wants to get in the Trident to feel the difference. So he gets in the Trident, paddles out. And comes
Kevin
around.
Picks up this old bullshit.
It's hardhead lures that sent me some lures just to try out, right? And
I'm not trying.
It was
so weird.
It's part of the story. It's completely part of the story. If I was fucking filming, it would have been completely part of the story. Because I was too. I was joking too. So yeah, it was. It's they have jig heads and weightless hooks with spinner blades on them. So
yeah.
That's their kind of the gimmick. Colored weighted hooks. So I got one on and you know, we're joking. He said, "Man, Mike, nothing's gonna catch nothing on that gay ass shit." And I'm like, "I know, it's fucking little spinny dinghies on this shit. Ain't nothing gonna, and nothing's gonna do." Zoof!
It's in the water.
Fucking talking shit about it. It bam, hooks up. I'm like, oh fuck. And Rick's like right there. I mean, I basically cast right next to Rick. I mean, I just like paddled over to the spot. So I mean, really didn't think it was just gonna happen like that. And yeah, it was a nice one, 19 incher.
Yeah.
The other funny part of the story is trying to watch me land a fish on the beach. All out of sorts. I don't figure out. I don't want to get him sandy. I don't want to take pictures of him. I hate that look when guys hold up pictures of sandy ass.
Come on, man.
She looks terrible. That sand's like sandpaper. It like takes off all their slime and shit. I don't know. Maybe it does.
He's just going to get eaten by a...
But a dolphin.
Lewis is just going to eat him like next week anyway.
Oh, but a dolphin that keeps going by him.
Lewis is going to eat him. They're getting ready to fill the coolers. They're on it. He's probably out there right now. It's driving rain.
I did see him this past week. I went out there and didn't catch shit. I didn't catch nothing. I caught
small Kroger, I think, on when I was targeting them. I did get a spike spec, and I saw the guy's spike specs out there at the mouth, lizard fish, like a lot of lizard fish. Couldn't do shit but catch a lizard fish. So
that Viking was Kayaks Pro Fish Reload.
That's right.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck. Yeah, it was a cool
always
boat.
Always on.
It was a cool boat. Felt really good.
Chuck always watches. That's so awesome.
Yeah, it was actually more stable than I thought. That boat was actually more stable than I thought.
Yeah, it was really, it paddled really well. I mean, I thought it was a cool boat. I stood up in it. I mean, it's.
And it's not made for, like, the only thing is it is made for
open water. It's an open water.
It is open water because the decks isn't made for standing up in.
No.
It's got the live well type of situation in it. It's got the center console type of thing. Same thing with the Ultras, but this one comes out. It was pretty cool. It was a cool boat. It was really good for that open water stuff. But yeah, that was a good day.